Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We will have Predators tickets to give away later this hour, so make sure you are tuned in. Preds taking on the Golden Knights in a big game tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have tickets to give away later this hour on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, you are fresh off the trip to Charlotte, North Carolina, where Tennessee played Texas on Saturday night. They win 62-58. They advance to the Sweet 16. So this time of year, it's all about surviving and advancing, as we know. But man, at times, was that a rough game to watch on Saturday night between Tennessee and Texas. Tennessee ends up shooting 33.8% from the field. Texas shoots 36.4%. At one point, Joe, Tennessee was 1 of 21 from the three-point line. They ended up 3 of 25 in the game, which is a whopping 12%. But at one point, 1 of 21, and I was sitting there watching it saying, number one, are they ever going to make another three-point shot again in their entire lives? And number two, once it got to about 1 of 19, I think I tweeted, hey guys, maybe stop shooting threes. Maybe try to get to the hole a little bit more. But to their credit, and I saw you tweet about this too, and it's hard to argue with it. I mean, they got wide open shots. They just did not hit them. And it was wild to see them go 1 for 21 from the three-point line, end up 3 for 25 from the three-point line, and still win the game.
No doubt. That's another thing to remember. I mean, Texas is a good defensive team too. And so Texas, I mean, even amid all that, they're getting at times like Kinect got to the rim some. I mean, they had some really nice, you know, pick and roll stuff. Sometimes Adu slipped the screen a couple times, got him to the rim. I mean, Ziegler was constantly getting into the teeth of the defense, making a good decision and getting open looks. I mean, if that's what a defense is willing to give up, and I mean, if I'm Texas at some point in that game, you're like, yeah, man, it's in their heads, you know, just don't, you know, protect the paint and don't let them, you know, don't let them get to the rim and make them make an outside shot. They also had Kinect in the lane and Adu in the lane down the stretch with little short, you know, like probably 6 to 8 footers, and they just came up short on both of them.
Yep.
But it did get to the point where, I mean, you're just like, I mean, it's like the whole team is just like, and so many of those shots were close. Now, some weren't. They also had in there that many, Ganey had an air ball. Vescovy's first one of the game, like, was like, hit the lower right side of the backboard. That was like right in front of me. I was like, geez. But also, by the way, in the last 5 minutes, Kinect and James hit huge threes, you know, because like you said, they were 1 for 21 at one point, end up 3 for 25. You know, it's just it's wild because they've been not an amazing but a good three-point shooting team this year. And even in the last game, the same basketball, same rims, everything. I understand it's St. Peter's, but I mean, it's just shooting the basketball, right? They had a really good day from three, and it was like, okay, they're getting their shooters going. But the two of the last three games now, they've been just atrocious. Was that 8 for 33? Which, I mean, 8's a good number to make, but like against Mississippi State, with, you know, just, you know, that's less than 25% if my math is correct.
It's not good.
So, no. And so, I mean, I think the big question with that moving forward is, look, we've talked, I mean, and Josiah James was great, by the way. You know, it kind of gets lost in everything because Ziegler was an Iron Man. Ziegler on defense was so freaking good and really running the team. And like Mayshak against Osmus was amazing. You know, like so many role players did. You know, the big guys were good inside. But Josiah James, 9 points, 9 rebounds, hitting that three, he was fantastic. But we've talked about those role players and can they hit shots. I think the big concern right now, if you look at where the numbers have gone, is that Kinect and Ziegler are really kind of on a slump, both of them,
yep,
from three. Now, I say that, again, Kinect was like 4 for 8 in the first game, so he did everything he wanted in that game. But over the last couple weeks, those two guys have gone down, and they need that to change.
Well, he made a couple – Connect made a couple of the big plays in the second half, whether it was on putback dunks or certainly at the free throw line at the end of the game. Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, Adu knocked down some big free throws at the end of the game in a game where offensively I just didn't think he played very well at all, and I thought there was a little bit of timidity there in the middle there of that you saw early in the game, and – he missed a couple bunnies early, and it looked like that affected him moving. He ended up 4-12. But he made some big free throws down the stretch. And then Connect, you know, just being assertive, going to go get the ball when they knew that they had to foul, and stepping up and making those free throws in big moments. There were some clutch moments for Tennessee in that game, so it was good to see. And, I mean, I guess it does depend on your perspective, because I've seen both of it, Joe. It's like, my goodness, like, it's two out of the last three games where they've just been atrocious from the field shooting the basketball, and that's concerning moving forward. And then there's the other perspective, like we threw out there earlier in the show, Joe, that Jay Wright put out there of, well, you played about as bad as you can play offensively, and you still won the game because of your defense, and you won the game because of some big moments down the stretch of you making plays that you had to make. So when you do shoot better, and the odds would tell you that you will moving forward, that should serve you well. So I guess it just depends on which way you filled up your coffee this morning, how you view it if you're a Tennessee fan.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, your team got to the Sweet 16 not playing its best, and there's complaining when your team just got to the Sweet 16. So there's a little bit of a pullback for a minute, look at that, and say, gee, could you ever imagine that happening in your life? You know, like, oh, this year's Sweet 16, man, I don't know. Got to shoot better, right? But look, it like they will have to shoot better. They'll have to put it all together.
There's no question.
They're certainly going to have to put it all together if they end up seeing Purdue. Purdue right now looks absolutely dying. Purdue and UConn look right now in this tournament like they're headed for just an absolute clash, and that'd be an amazing game. But Tennessee can beat Purdue. They're not going to beat Purdue with that kind of game. They're going to beat Purdue with that kind of defense and then their best version of offense. And by the way, Creighton is really good too, and they can, of course, lose this game, the 2-3 game here, in Detroit on late Friday night. Yay!
I saw that. It's gonna be a real late one Friday night for you. Yeah. Should be fun.
But hey, better than it being a Thursday at least. At least it's a Friday Sunday. Don't miss why they won, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, don't miss why they won. They won because they did a lot of things that you can take game to game. Their defense, I really was like, that was their defense. And again, I think the big difference here, and I do think Mississippi State, we talked about this, is this going to help them? I think Mississippi State directly helped them in this game. And some of this is talking to the guys, you know, after Mayshak was especially talking about this after the game, you know, just like, you know, guys met after that game, and it's just basically like, okay, the shots weren't falling, and then and Mississippi State gets credit for punching him in the mouth, but it affected the defense. Like, they just they crumbled in that game, and this was an example of the shots not falling, but they played their D. They attacked the other team with their defense, in particular starting with Ziegler, but like the scouting reports, I mean everything, they were fantastic. That's what you do, you know. So if they can find it, they're just gonna have to have some way better shooting nights, and I don't know if that'll happen or not. Like, they need to like come out and hit like two early on Friday, you know, and just get it out of their system, because this happens sometimes, right? When things get contagious, good or bad. But I do think that the way they executed and they defended, and again, then they were mentally tough at the foul line late. Those are all great things.
Well, I thought, you know, Awaka had 10 points like really early on, and I was like, man, like Awaka is going in this game. And that was basically all he had offensively. I don't know if he even took a shot in the second half there, but like that was really the only thing working offensively in the first half. I mean, it was 28-19 at halftime. It looked like the first team to 50 was going to win the game, but all that counts this time of year is the wins and the losses, and they advance Tennessee to the Sweet 16, one of two SEC teams remaining in the NCAA tournament, with Alabama winning yesterday as well. We'll take your thoughts on the Vols. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll also get into some other NCAA tournament action throughout the weekend coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Vols advanced to the Sweet 16. It's been an interesting tournament to this point, Joe. So in the Sweet 16, you have all four number one seeds, all four number two seeds. You have a three seed in Illinois, a three seed in Clayton. Duke's made it as a four seed. Gonzaga as a five. NC State at 11, the lowest seed to get in the tournament. There's Clemson at six. It's been an interesting tournament from the standpoint of it. There's a lot of chalk going on right now. And then there's the SEC, who just keeps getting their doors blown off by everybody not named Tennessee and Alabama. Been a rough go of things for Greg Sankey, who continues to catch strays and people's post-game press conferences.
Yeah, everybody's ripping. I mean, I feel like we're a trendsetter on this program. You know, like we started going off on Sankey. Now all the entire sports world is going off on Sankey. I think I saw there was an NFL free agent signing the other day, and he was like, "Unlike Greg Sankey, I'm going to have a good year for the Minnesota Vikings." Yeah, tough for the SEC. I mean, look. Like last night, Yale gets blown out by San Diego State. Like that Auburn loss to Yale is one of those things that, like, if they played 10 times, Auburn wins by 20 plus, I think, in the other nine games. Like, it's just, but you get one of their best players, Chad Baker-Mazzara, gets ejected. And I mean, I can't argue with the ejection for an egregious kind of like elbow to the head.
Yep.
And running up the floor. And that's just one of those incredible March Madness games. It's just like it honestly, it sucks because I said before Auburn UConn is all I wanted, and it would have been amazing, but they're bouncing. Then Kentucky, I mean, I shouldn't have been so cowardly. I said all week that Oakland had a chance to beat Kentucky, but then I put Kentucky in the final four of my bracket. I mean, it's like, just go with your gut there, man. But that's obviously a stunner, and we've talked already about Calipari and all that stuff. So those two are the real, you know, I mean, I think the SEC, I mean, A&M last night, which, by the way, I went to bed when they were up 10. And I'd say they acquitted themselves pretty well, you know, rolling Nebraska and then and pushing Houston to the absolute brink. And Alabama, that was, you know, that was a good for them to get to the Sweet 16. I mean, the Big 12 and the SEC were the best two leagues. And they were. They were the best two leagues this year based on an entire season and also based on non-league performance. And those two leagues both have two teams. Good for the ACC to have four. They're still not very good. I'm sorry. Like, and the Big East people are really whining right now. I mean, Danny Hurley's out there, but because they got three teams in and they're all in the Sweet 16. But here's the thing. They had three great teams this year: Marquette, Creighton, and UConn. And then no one else in that league is very good. You could make a case for St. John's. You could make a case for Seton Hall, but you had three great teams. So good for you to advance, but you are all supposed to advance at this point, okay? So let's not act like this is some huge egregious thing. This happens every year. Like we all of a sudden take this to, like, redefine all the conferences, and we also take this to, like, go back and, you know, say what the committee got wrong. If anything, I think the committee, and I know James Madison did not acquit itself well yesterday. My goodness, that was nasty. But they ran Wisconsin off the floor, and I think that's an example. Like, Indiana State, to me, is, well, I come away from this weekend like, God, we should have been able to watch Indiana State in this tournament.
Well, Purdue and UConn, I think, clearly look like the two best teams. I mean, Purdue yesterday, they beat Utah State 106-67 and just wiped the floor with them. UConn 75-58 over Northwestern. They both just look, like you said earlier, they look like they're on a collision course right now. So can a Tennessee or a Houston or a Marquette, can one of these teams get in the way of kind of that run that we're seeing right now? UConn, San Diego State could be interesting coming up in the Sweet 16. I tell you one that I'm looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to Carolina, Alabama coming up. I think that's going to be awesome.
Yes, Carolina, Alabama is absolutely one of the best matchups in a game that should be totally up and down and a ton of fun. I honestly have no UConn's going to absolutely destroy San Diego State, and I understand it's technically a rematch of, you know, the national championship game, but one of the best players from San Diego State,
yeah,
in that game is playing for Arizona now. You know, it's just they're not nearly the same team. It is a real that I love the upsets. I mean the fact that Yale, I mean the whole thing with Yale has been amazing. Like, it's like their microbiology Twitter account.
Yeah,
it's like Yale MB or whatever, yeah. And everybody's tweeting at it because they think it's Yale men's basketball. They're like, "Hi, we're the microbiology account. Try Yale men's basketball." You know, I mean, the whole story is amazing, but also sometimes they do rob you of amazing games. You know,
yeah.
So UConn, they're gonna just trash them. But I will say another game that's really good and is big time, and these are two teams, either of these teams I do think can challenge UConn, Illinois, Iowa State.
Yep.
That is a massive 2-3 matchup in the East. That's going to be a lot of fun, and I do think either of those teams should beat UConn.
By the way, Oakland, they almost pulled it out again. They lost 79-73 in overtime to NC State, so NC State's magical run continues, but the run for Oakland comes to an end. So if you're a Kentucky fan out there, you don't even get to take solace on, like, Oakland going on some deep run like St. Peter's did now. They were just out the next round. Tough one for Kentucky fans.
Yeah, just like Auburn, you know? Yeah. It's like – but Oakland – and NC State's on this crazy run. I mean, NC State's run is actually just like 1983 all over again. It's wild. With former Vol DJ Burns, who's about 70 pounds heavier than when he was at Tennessee, and yet – he's just in there just owning the paint. But
some of that Carolina cooking.
Yeah, but Oakland was right there. Absolutely had a chance to win that game. So I'm glad that the nation got treated to Greg Campy. You know, probably my wildest night out ever in the Final Four was with Greg Campy in Detroit Media in 2013 in Atlanta. So that's the kind of guy Greg Campy is. Great at shuffleboard. Just an amazing guy who's been the coach there since 1983.
It's wild.
And for him to finally, like, get a win and to beat Kentucky, I mean, he said the other day, like, that's going on his tombstone now. Here lies Greg Campy, who beat Kentucky, you know. So again, that's why the tournament's great. I wish they would have advanced. You know, Duke Houston, it could be great. Creighton Tennessee, I think, will be very good. I'm kind of like just the same thing with UConn, San Diego State. I just Gonzaga. It's not your older brother's Gonzaga, you know.
Yep.
They're not. I don't think that they're going to hang with Purdue.
Joe, I thought yesterday that MTSU, the women's team, was going to take down LSU and Kim Mulkey. They're up at halftime, and then the wheels totally fell off in the second half. They only scored 20 points in the second half, and LSU got rolling. They end up losing in a blowout, 83-56. But it looked like for a little bit yesterday that the Blue Raiders were going to waltz down there to Baton Rouge and take down Kim Mulkey, who's going through some things right now, and the LSU Tigers.
Yeah, great first half. And they're up 7 in the second. And I'll say it, look, little bit of home whistle happens, little bit of
– there was no question about it.
There was some bad calls
going on.
Yeah, and look, LSU end up taking over, and they're a dominant team inside. And it was like, at some point they're going to assert themselves inside, right? And they did. But, boy, they got a tough whistle. And, you know, even like some of the calls, like when these officials get all like, you know, it's like Leslie Nielsen and Naked Gun at home plate. Like, it's like, you're supposed to be calling this. Are you one of the fans with you know, what are you doing here?
It was a tough look.
Yeah, it was a bad and Rick Insel came out and said something about it too, and I don't blame him. As for Mulkey, I have more to say about her at some point this week. But Brian asks, I noticed Stanford played a game in their home court. Is that normal? Yeah, the women's tournament, if you're a top 4 seed, you get to host the first weekend. So those are all home sites, and then they go to a neutral. Actually, they're doing something different this year. I think it's new this year where it's just 2 regional sites. So it's like instead of 4 places, you know, with 4 teams, it's 2 places with 8 teams, which is kind of interesting. I think that's kind of cool. But But great season for Middle Tennessee again.
Yep.
And too bad they couldn't have done that, you know, couldn't have finished the deal.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your 16-team bracket to compete to win great prizes, including tickets to see Kings of Leon coming up at Bridgestone Arena on September 26th. That's the 1025 The Game Bracket Challenge, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Coming up next, the Preds stay hot. They get another win against the Detroit Red Wings over the weekend, a 17-game point streak, and a huge matchup coming up tomorrow against the Vegas Golden Knights. Also, one part about this Predators team that I did not think was possible this time about a week ago that I'm starting to wonder about. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
And stopping the play and sending the puck over the crossbar was Alex Lyon. Here is Josi inside trying to get a shot away. Bouncing puck sent away by Forsberg. He scores! Philip Forsberg scores! From Roman Josi, it's 1-0.
Preds win on Saturday, 1-0 the final score. That is back-to-back shutouts for the Nashville Predators. Kevin Lankinen gets one Thursday against Florida. UC Saros with a shutout performance against the Detroit Red Wings on Saturday. And the Preds did not have their fastball on Saturday, but they extend the point streak to 17 games, 15-0-2 during that span. And that sets up a huge game tomorrow against the Vegas Golden Knights, and we want to send you to that game. We've got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Answer today's trivia question on our text line. Do not call. Answer the question on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Who did the Predators win their first ever playoff series against? What was the opponent? Who did they win their first ever playoff series against? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The first person to correctly guess the answer, as judged by Nick Kieser, will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Vegas Golden Knights coming up tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Joe, a game on Saturday where...
I know the answer.
Do you? Ooh, boy. Joe knows the answer. Joe, a game on Saturday where Preds did not have their fastball. Quite frankly, I didn't think they looked very good the first couple of periods there. And look, they've gone in the last couple of weeks to Winnipeg and Seattle and then back here and then down to Florida and then back here. They're not really even practicing anymore right now with all the games that they played. So they're going through it right now in terms of the physical drain that they're on right now. But the third period, they ramped it up and they look great. And they totally dominated Detroit in the third. They get the one goal by Forsberg to break through, and they hold on for dear life on the other side in the last couple of minutes, and they walk out of there with a 1-0 victory.
I mean, so obviously I was in Charlotte, but I don't know who of our staff put out the video, but that standing ovation video that we had, I'm like, I remember these.
The crowd was fired up Saturday.
So you tell me how close are these crowds now approaching, you know, like the best crowds that we've seen in there, which is a high bar.
We're getting there. I mean, it was Saturdays, even before the game. I mean, it felt a little different in there. And some of that, I mean, It's a Saturday afternoon when the weather starts to get a little bit warmer. I mean, those games are always fun. And, you know, people are out on Broadway and people are, you know, out. There's tons of people downtown hours before the game. So, you know, it was setting up to be a great environment. There are a lot of Wings fans in town, so it was a lot of – I mean, it was fun. It felt like a playoff game. And then the unfortunate part is through the first two periods, like, nothing was happening. I mean, you had the Forsberg-Sider fight, which Forsberg bit off a little bit more than he could chew there in that one.
Yeah, a little bit.
Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot going on out there, which kind of made people restless. But when that goal went in, that place went nuts, especially with just the way that things went down and then the standing ovation and the way that they kind of held on there at the end. It was cool. It was really cool to see. And, you know, Joe, I'll be honest with you. We've been talking so much about kind of like the back pressure of St. Louis and Minnesota and Vegas, and the Preds are still in a great spot, especially when it comes to St. Louis and Minnesota, to hold them off. They got a huge game against Vegas on Tuesday. If you can win that one in regulation, you're 7-up on the Golden Knights for that second in front of that second wild card spot. If they win and beat you in regulation, they're only three back. So it's a massive game coming up tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. But don't look now. The Predators are 5 points back of Winnipeg for third in the division, and they've now drawn even in terms of games played. It was not a good weekend for the Jets. They lost a couple of games, and the Preds are five back with 11 to play against the Jets. It's not a five-point lead with 11 games left is not insignificant. Like, that's still some ground you got to make up, but it's also not unattainable. Like, the Predators are closer to Winnipeg than they are St. Louis and Minnesota on the backside of things right now, which this time about a week and a half ago I did not think would be possible. But all of a sudden, maybe that third spot could be in view for the Predators if they play their cards right here.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, overall, what they've done here, you could if you went back to the beginning of it, I might say, you know, they might be in a better spot even, but everybody else has been winning at a pretty good rate. But three in a row now for the Jets. And, of course, now the interesting thing there is the one and the two right now, both have, you know, the Avs and Stars both sitting there at 97 points. Now, if you believe the Avs are going to pull away, then that's where this is big to me, yeah. Right? I mean, if you believe the Avs are going to pull away, and right now they do have a game in hand on the Stars, so they're both sitting there at 97 points, then, yeah, if you can get the three, then you're set up with the Stars. And, I mean, I personally think that would be a much better situation for the Preds than being paired up with the Avs. But you also still don't know how that's going to go, for sure.
You don't. And right now, I mean, if the playoffs started today, which is one of my favorite sayings, their matchup would be against Colorado. So it kind of goes back and forth every day. Colorado-Dallas technically tied. But Winnipeg falling off a little bit. I mean, they're only 4 points back of those two, so they could go on a run here. But, I mean, you look at the schedule for the Predators. They got the massive game tomorrow against Vegas and seeing if they could keep that thing going. They have Arizona Thursday, at Colorado on Saturday, and then in April you have Winnipeg at home as well. So you still have more games against Colorado and Winnipeg. You know, St. Louis you could throw into that mix, but in terms of teams that you're directly competing with. But that game against Winnipeg on April the 8th could end up being a massive game in terms of, like, third in the division, and I did not think that was going to happen.
I mean, between the Avs, Stars, and Preds, you're talking about 18 straight wins combined.
Yeah.
You know? But the Avs have nine of those. I just have to think – I think the Avs are going to end up being the one seed in the West.
I agree. They're going to win the division. I mean, they were down 4-0 yesterday. They came back 1-5-4 in overtime against Pittsburgh, which tough one for the Penguins yesterday. But they look like a buzzsaw right now. The Preds, look, I mean, I think they deserve a lot of credit for Saturday because it was pretty clear that they were off the first couple of periods. And UC Saros played great. He made a couple of huge saves in the first two periods. I still think for the most part they defended pretty well. And then in the third, I mean, it felt like they spent until the last two or three minutes where Detroit was in desperation mode. It felt like in the third period, the Preds had the puck the whole time. And that, it kind of looked like what it's looked like throughout this whole stretch here. And Philip Forsberg was able to get one to go. And they're just making plays that are winning plays at the right time right now. And they continue to do it. And again, I mean, they're supposed to practice today. They had the day off yesterday. They got a team picture coming up today, and they're going to theoretically practice after that. My guess is the practice is going to have, like, about seven people on the ice. They are exhausted right now. So, like, part of this is also managing the schedule moving forward here and making sure that you're fresh and ready to go for the games, and we'll see how much energy they've got, but – that was an impressive performance in the third period to gut that one out. And they're not always going to look pretty. For the most part, they have looked pretty on this stretch, but that was an example of kind of grinding out an ugly one on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Red Wings they're desperate. The Red Wings right now are fighting, you know, they're right there, I think, like a point out of a playoff spot, and they, not long ago, were in good shape, and they, you know, hit the skids. But, yeah, it's a pretty solid team, desperate team. And you're not always going to have your best, but like you said, if you can You can grit it out. You get great goaltending. Your star forward scores a goal. You got that atmosphere. And then you got a little extra time here before this huge next game, the next huge game on the schedule.
Matt on the text line says, Robbie, I disagree. The teams played awesome on both sides, but the goalies were incredibly hot all the way through the game. I'm telling you, they did not play awesome first two periods, and they agreed with that after the game. Not very good for the first two periods. They couldn't complete passes and were passing to no one, and they defended well. That's good. I mean, if you're gonna have lapses, at least it wasn't on the defensive side of things. But offensively, they looked like they'd never played together for the first two periods of that game the other day. It's gonna happen from time to time.
Right. I mean, after most games, there's at least one period the coach didn't like, yes, from his team. So, every single kind of way you can win games. Obviously, we've talked about how their offense, expected goals, actual goals, all those things have been up during this stretch, and they've dominated possession, all these things. But now you can win a game like this, which I guess in a way maybe feels more like a playoff game. You know, in the playoffs, the time and space is going to evaporate on you, right? I don't know if that was necessarily this or, just the fact that it's a 1-0 game, but bottom line is they're winning different ways, which is another mark of a good team.
Josh from Lebanon says, would love to hear your thoughts on Forsberg possibly getting to 50 goals this year. He's at 39 right now, 39 with 11 left to play, which means
that's a lofty standard.
He'd have to get to 11 in the next 11 games. I feel great about 40. I mean, he's going to get to 40, and I feel okay about 45. I think 50 would be – that'd be a heck of a run for Forsberg over the last 11, 12 games here to close things out.
By the way, I say this knowing that last year he got the head injury in Philly and missed the rest of the season, but 2 out of 3 years now, you're talking about, and how many years did we spend saying, is this guy ever going to be a 40-goal scorer?
Right.
And now it's 2 out of 3 years that he's been able to stay healthy, and he's going to get there. And it's not just a contract year now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing. The 1 year he did it, it's a contract year. Well, now here he is doing it again, which credit to him, and I do think credit to what Andrew Brunette has brought as well.
I agree, and I asked him after the game the other night, if right now he feels like he's playing the best hockey he's ever played. And, most time when you ask these hockey players questions like that, they're like, I don't know. He said, yep, sure is. So he's aware of how well that he's playing right now. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Nick Kieser, do we have a winner on our tickets that we gave away?
Yes, John is our winner this morning. And I got a lot of weird answers.
Really?
Honestly, I even got a Coyotes answer.
Mm.
That's baffling.
Believe it or not, they have never beaten the Coyotes.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah, they've lost to them twice in the playoffs. The correct answer, the Anaheim Ducks in 2011 was the team that the Predators beat for their first ever playoff series win. We got a lot of guesses for Detroit
on
the text line too, which I knew we would, which happened the year after in 2012, and that did kind of feel like a seminal moment in the franchise. But 2011 Anaheim Ducks, the Predators dispatched them in 6 games, their first ever playoff series win. So congratulations to John.
Got to the Canucks.
They did.
Ducks to Canucks.
They did. The Ryan Kesler series. 615, one of several Ryan Kesler series. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check that out every morning here on the program. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just... well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rex Road back from Charlotte, North Carolina, fresh off a trip to the NCAA tournament's opening weekend. Rex Road, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So... I think you get deja vu. I think I've ranted about Bryce Drew. Have I not?
I'm sure at some point long ago.
Okay, so it hasn't been that recently. Okay, well then that's good. So the national media, and again, people sometimes accuse me of caping for my friends So I've got some friends who I just am absolutely just sick of hearing their crap right now. Okay. Like my former coworker, Seth Davis, Mike DeCourcy. I love Mike DeCourcy. Sporting News. I mean, there's a guy who, when I was a young journalist, he couldn't have been nicer, more helpful. I remember that stuff. He's really good. I appreciate him. John Rossing does a good job for CBS. Those are the three guys in particular who, when Grand Canyon University won their first round game, gosh, who the heck did they beat, by the way?
I can't remember. Let me go look.
But when they won their first round game, we immediately have to take to Twitter. Now, actually, Mike DeCourcy did this last week. He said that the Bryce Drew firing at Vanderbilt was the worst he's seen.
And, St. Mary's, by the way.
Beat St. Mary's, yeah. And I got to say, Mike, Rob Lanier just got fired at SMU after 2 years. You can find a worse firing than Bryce Drew every single effing year in this sport. I mean, that is one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard, Mike DeCourcy. I love you. That's absolutely insane. And I've argued with Mike before about this when it happened. And I'm like, Mike, I know you like Bryce, and everybody loves Homer Drew and Scott Drew and the Drew family. They're great people. But if you don't know what happened and you just know that you like Bryce Drew and you think he's a good coach, then I think you should stand down a little bit. And it's just this, you know, revisionist history stuff about Bryce Drew. Bryce Drew had the first 220 loss seasons at Vanderbilt, and he went 0-18. And yes, he lost Darius Garland. He also had NBA player Sabin Lee. He also had NBA player Matt Ryan. He also had NBA player Aaron Nesmith. He also had Simi Shitu, who is like a G League guy who was a five-star recruit. And he went 0-18. Do we seriously have to keep doing this? But I'm glad that, and again, I like Bryce. He's a good guy. And I think here's what Bryce Drew is. Bryce Drew is not a very good basketball coach. Bryce Drew would not succeed at the Power 5 level. Bryce Drew is a great recruiter. So, and that matters. I mean, that's part of being a coach is putting together a roster. I mean, if you watch any of Grant Canyon, Tyon Grant Foster, I'm like, that dude could start for any team in this tournament. He had 29 points last night in their loss to Alabama. But I'm glad that they got to that point because people saw a little bit of what the issue is with Bryce Drew. The issue is I don't know what the heck he does during a game. They ran zero offense in that game. And I'm telling you, like, they essentially – so what happens is teams usually run a set, and then you try to get what you're trying to get in the set. And then, you know, if the defense does a good job, takes it away, then basically what are you going to do? You're going to bring a high ball screen with your point guard or whoever has the ball, and you're going to play off that, right? Like, they sometimes brought the high ball screen just to start, and sometimes they just said, whoever has the ball, just go try to drive. And I know a lot of this game is in transition and everything. But, like, seriously, that was their approach, okay? To the point that here is what Charles Barkley said. And Charles Barkley, sometimes, you know, on the college basketball stuff, it's like, dude, you know, I mean, I prefer him in the NBA. But he knows basketball. He knows the game of basketball. Here's his quote. Quote, Grand Canyon, that was the dumbest game of basketball I think I've ever seen. I don't think they ran a play the entire second half. Some of the dumbest basketball I've ever seen, end quote. That's Bryce Drew. So, again, the point is really not to rip him. Good for him for what he's done at Grand Canyon, and he did a great job at Valparaiso. He's an amazing recruiter. He's a super likable guy. Kids love him. And so, I mean, he's going to keep having success there, I think. The idea that he was, like, this was some egregious firing, you know, that he was a misunderstood good coach, you don't know what happened here. It was bad. It was really bad. And Matthew Fisher Davis, who played for Bryce Drew, has been out here. He fights this all the time. And he has said, you know, their first year when they did make the NCAA tournament, they tried to do what Bryce Drew wanted to do on offense. It didn't work. So they went back to Kevin Stallings' offense because that's what the guys knew. He had, you know, he had some really good players left over from Kevin Stallings, and they got to the tournament running Stallings stuff. And then the next 2 years, we saw what happened. One of the worst defensive teams in college basketball, and also an offense that made zero sense. I have no idea what they were doing. For the most part, when they almost beat Tennessee, they run all these horn sets, and it was good, and they almost won. So, look, Bryce Drew knows basketball. I just watched that team last night run nothing. all night. And it's just enough about Bryce Drew.
You left out the best part of the Barkley quote where he referred to the University of Alabama as Alabama University like three separate times. It was good stuff. I don't know if he meant to do that and he's like taking shots at Alabama or if it was just a natural slip.
Oh, he absolutely did. Well, by the way, so I want to give Nick a chance because Nick apparently has a grievance. You know, you can just take a rant someday, Nick, if you want.
Someday. We don't really have enough time this morning. Maybe I could save it. So,
are you going to save it or are you going to do
save it?
Let's save it.
Okay.
Let's save
it. Ooh, a keys a rant tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's come up with a name. We need submissions on the text line right now. What's the best name for a Nick Keyser rant? We've got the Rex rant. We've got the Rob rant. What about Nick Keyser? Let us know. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Looking forward to Nick Keyser's rant tomorrow here on the program. No pressure, Nick. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, I'm not worried about it.
Good. That's good.
This would be really easy.
Confidence is key. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the L'Jarius Sneed trade by the Titans and the job that Rand Carthon has done with this roster this offseason. All that and more coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.